Welcome back to the Tennessee Holler. I am Justin. TNHoller.com is where you can find us, at the TN Holler on Twitter and Facebook. We also have hollers hollering all across the state. Thanks to your support. Really do appreciate it. Shout out to Abby Rubenfeld. If you need a lawyer like Eli did, use Abby. If you need some jewelry, AJ Martin. And if you need a house, Lisa Parker. Let's get right to it because I don't want to keep him long. This is Eli Modica, who, if you're not following, you should have been already following. He's one of the best reporters Tennessee has with the Nashville Scene. And if you're following us, you probably saw yesterday there was some commotion because this man was arrested at Vanderbilt covering some pro-Palestine protests by the students there. Eli, how you doing today?
I'm good. I'm a little hoarse, but I'll do my best to tell you whatever you're curious about.
First of all, let's just establish you're a free man, right?
Yes. Yeah. I was taken to Davidson County Jail downtown, processed. I have a little earring, took my earring and my watch, and I sat there for a couple hours and then I was called over, fingerprinted, spoke with public defender Martisa Johnson, who explained what had happened with my charges. Vanderbilt police arresting officer issued the arrest to the Davidson County court and the magistrate dismiss them for lack of probable cause. The DA, Glenn Funk, additionally said that he wouldn't prosecute. The officer who arrested me had to come back, pick me up, drive me back to Vanderbilt's campus, where he said that I had to leave immediately or potentially would risk arrest again.
What is your understanding of why this happened? Obviously, it's horrific to see a reporter get arrested. You were just doing your job, bring these pro-Palestine protests. And I think most people look at this and go, wow, I mean, they're arresting reporters now.
The larger story, I think, is that especially under the new chancellor, Daniel Diermeier, Vanderbilt has gone through great lengths to refine its responses, create very sophisticated responses to student protest, student activism, free speech, set very specific guardrails around what can or can't be said on campus and how it can be said. For example, I know students who have been cited and taken to student accountability for posting the poster that's the wrong size or in the wrong place or doesn't have the right name on it. That whole environment has been developing over Vanderbilt for the past couple of years. I think that's a very important story that we haven't covered a lot. The Scene was one of the few outlets writing about it, and specifically around the pro-Palestine. They wanted to have a vote. The sit-in was about having a vote about a boycott, divest, sanctions resolution. I'm here to cover this. I show up. I've written two stories about it. I get multiple indications that police knew who I was. Walk up to the first front door, look in, there's an officer in there. I see if the door's open. The officer comes out. I can't let you in. I wish I could let you in. I'm under orders not to let you in. Credentialed member of the media. I have my press badge on the whole time. Can I go in? The sit-in's going on. Am I allowed to go observe this? He said, no, I'm sorry. I talked to two or three other police officers over the next half hour at different doors. Ask them. I get different stories from each of them. You know, the building's closed for construction. I see people going in and out of the building. You have to call our communications officer, which I did several times. Three different communications people. No answer. You know, meanwhile, like the story is unfolding inside the building. So this is my job. That's what I'm there to do. I'm trying to report on the story. And then after maybe the fourth time kind of going around with my photographer, Matt Masters, who captured all this, officer comes over and puts me in handcuffs. And that was the first time I had heard the words criminal trespassing from a police officer. I had not gotten any indication that I needed to leave the campus, which is part of their statement that they issued. They said that they told me I had needed to leave. I was not told by any officers that day that I was supposed to leave. I was doing my reporting and then I was in handcuffs.
You were just doing your job and you ended up in handcuffs. You were never warned.
I did go to several doors and interviewed each officer, asking, you know, what's going on? What are your orders? What's your understanding of the situation? Is there someone that I can talk to? I did do that. And then that's reporting. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I know you have been in positions like that before where you're trying to get the full picture of what's going on in a chaotic environment when there's an active story unfolding.
Absolutely. But I think one thing that you mentioned here that I think it's important for people to understand is like they knew who you were. Here is your previous article about the activism that was going on at Vandy. This is from March 20th. And then a week later, you're being arrested. And in this video, which I'd like to, if you have a second, they say to you something about last week that they knew who you were.
Whoa. What's going on?
You're
going on?
You're under arrest.
No.
On Vanderbilt's campus? No, I haven't been warned. No one has said that, those words to me. I will walk off.
He's a member of the press.
I am here doing my job.
They already warned you before.
No, they didn't.
See right there, he says they already warned you before, not
yeah,
today.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I still don't know what he's referring to.
He's implying that he knows who you are. It's not like, you know, they're randomly arresting you. They've never seen you before. They're not arresting Matt, first of all. They're arresting you. Like, I guess my question out of all that would be, do you feel like this was because of your coverage?
I don't know. And we're talking to like a lawyer later today, so I don't.
Okay. So you don't want to say anything about that.
I don't want to like jeopardize potentially a wrongful arrest lawsuit. I can say that that day at minimum, I got different messages from multiple different VUPD officers about what I should do as a member of the press. I was not told by any of them to leave Vanderbilt's campus. I've been on Vanderbilt's campus probably 7 or 8 times for different protests. I think Vanderbilt's a really important institution in Nashville for a lot of different reasons. It's a major employer. So I've been there covering different protests. And so when he said you were warned last time or last year, I didn't know what he was referring to, but it did indicate to me that he was aware I had been on campus reporting before. That tells me that I was put in that position as opposed to other reporters there because of the reporting I had done on campus in the past. I don't think there's enough evidence to say it's because of the way that I covered it or what I wrote, but it was certainly, he indicated to me that the police were watching me because I had reported before.
Fair enough. I guess I'm extra sensitive to that because, you know, I'm kept out of press conferences because they don't like the way that we do things. And you are a very good reporter. You don't pull your punches. There's not a ton of people that do it the way you do it. It doesn't surprise me that you're the one that this happened to, honestly. And it's troubling because in order to hold people accountable, like, we need reporters that are willing to tell it like it is. And so the chilling effect that something like this has on reporting, I think, is the thing that should concern people most of all. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, thank you for saying that. I thought the exact same thing. And I think that, like, along with the environment on Vanderbilt's campus that seems to have consciously developed under this Chancellor Daniel Diermeier around hostility to protest, harsh punishments for protest and acts of speech. I think that the second major takeaway in addition to that is exactly what you just said, which is a chilling effect. If I had been asked to leave, if they said that I was at risk of criminal trespassing, that would have been the story. I would have left and gone and written that and said they pushed us off campus, and that would have been the story. But I wasn't, and I offered to leave. So I think that arbitrariness, not knowing, even now, not knowing if I can go back to report on something or when or under what conditions, that is definitely chilling, not just for me, but for media in Nashville to know that as soon as they step foot on Vanderbilt's campus, they could be potentially subject to handcuffs. That's scary for sure.
That is scary. I think it's important to keep in mind in moments like this, it's the reaction to the action that really gives the game away about the environment that exists. Just like when the Justins were expelled, the reaction expelling them really exposed the underbelly of, you know, the anti-democratic environment. All you did was go do your job, but the reaction made it the bigger story.
Well, so the reason why the students are sitting in, or were sitting in until today, and I think some were arrested, many were suspended, because they were protesting not being able to vote. These things, like you're saying, they snowball on each other, and often the suppression and oppression that comes from the state or from the institution just builds the resistance that it's hoping to destroy, because people see that it, like you said, that it's about authoritarianism and it's about control and silencing. That builds momentum and power and opposition. The story that I'm talking to you about right now is a more significant story than anything I was going to go back and write.
And it's so self-defeating in that way, because they're trying to keep a lid on what's happening inside that building. And now, because of what they did to you, now there's a much bigger microscope. We're talking about it. Every other outlet's writing about it. Like, they can't,
like,
help
you know, as a reporter, as soon as someone says, don't ask about that, don't look into that, like, you know that that's where the story is, and that's what the story is.
What has been going on with these protests? Like, what specifically are these students asking to have happen as we show them being arrested inside the building? What are they asking for?
These students are asking the administration to allow their student government to vote on a BDS resolution, like a boycott, divest, sanction resolution. Like a month ago, a lot of student groups came together and got a petition signed, you know, in support of BDS. I haven't seen this petition, so I don't know exactly what resolution would be voted on, but it went to the student government. Then Vanderbilt came in and said, no, you can't vote on this. It could potentially, you know, violate state or federal law. Student lawyers said, that's ridiculous. I'll let them vote on it. And then these, you know, these students sat in and said, let us vote through our mechanisms on the thing that we believe in or don't believe in. Let it go through the democratic process. We're not
leaving. They protested, I think, for like 21 hours yesterday.
Yeah, and I mean, last night they were being denied access to the bathroom.
I don't know how this is going to play out, but I do think it's important when moments like this happen, because they really show the anti-democratic forces at work, even in a place like Vanderbilt, where people wouldn't really think that that's what's happening. Diermeier is kind of known for what he called principled neutrality. Like, that's what Vanderbilt is trying to work from, is principled neutrality. What do you think about the idea of principled neutrality?
I think it's his intent to avoid the kind of major headlines, and he's kind of failing in this right now, to avoid the major headlines or scrutiny that have hit Harvard, Stanford. And it's basically to funnel all speech or discussion into official forums moderated by professors with invited speakers. The university provides the forum for these discussions to happen. And so he's created all these rules. The student handbook has this section that's just blown up to articulate when and how you're allowed to protest or issue speech. But it's basically just set up this whole scaffolding for what can or can't be said, how it can be said, where it can be said, when it can be said, who can say it. Official registered student groups versus unofficial, and the rights that each of those has, and the faculty sponsors and advisors and that kind of thing. I think his intent was to, you know, really formalize the process of dissent, argument, and debate, which, as we know, has many elements of organic discussion. Sometimes people want to go out and hold signs, rallies. And as in America, that's one of our constitutionally protected rights. And when you're the institution trying to tell people exactly when, where, and how to do it, that has contributed to the kinds of incidents and the frustrations that students are feeling now.
I guess I would sort of challenge the notion of neutrality being principled in any way these days. I think that's kind of what's crumbling around us. Even when you try to be neutral, you're still making decisions. You're still taking a position. When you try to hide that, I think that's when you really get in trouble.
Yeah, it requires the university to choose who is or isn't prosecuted or arrested, registered as a student organization, whatever it is.
The media too, like the media is going through this also, you know, their choices being made all over the place. So this idea that you can be positionless, like I would just challenge the notion of that. And I think striving for that in many ways has us on the precipice that we exist on as a state, as a country, as a school even.
Yeah. And I think it's contributed to a real pressure cooker environment that I witnessed yesterday.
Well, we're glad you're okay. Keep doing the work you're doing. At EJ Modica on Twitter. We'll see you soon, Eli.
Thanks, Justin. To Tennessee.